Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. This is Pastor Steve Atwood, and I appreciate you tuning in today. And I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll take your Bible, if you can, and follow along in the Scriptures as we once again talk about ways that you can better understand your Bible. There's information that we want to give you that will help you to understand the Word of God, and that's the real purpose of this program. We believe this information is exciting. We believe it's life-changing. And I believe it's information that every Christian needs to know. Also, I want to give you information. If you're out there and you've never been saved, I want to tell you absolutely, without a doubt, how you can be saved and how you can know that you're saved. That's our purpose on this broadcast, is to preach to you the gospel of the grace of God and the Word of God rightly divided. And by those two things, a person can come to an understanding of the Word of God. The first thing a person has to do, obviously, is to be saved. And then once a person is saved, they need to understand that there's a way that God has told us to study the Bible that will make it easy to understand. You know, a lot of people believe that the Bible is some deep, dark, mysterious book that's hard to understand and that you have to go to your pastor or your priest or whoever to get an understanding of the Scriptures. But that's not at all true. The Word of God was given so that we might all read and understand it. And of course, there are pastors and teachers and so forth. But the fact is that you can take your Bible and you can read your Bible and you can understand your Bible. And you can check out what other people say by the Word of God. As I said a moment ago, this information that we're going to give you, to me, was life-changing information. It was something that absolutely caused me to see that I could put my faith and my trust totally and completely in God's holy word. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul also said that it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the first thing, obviously, is salvation. And we want to talk about that a little bit today as we talk about something that there's an awful lot of confusion about in the world today, and that is the Great Commission. You know, most churches, most religions today proclaim that they are marching or they're trying to, trying to fulfill the Great Commission. And yet, when I read the words of the Great Commission, I understand that it is a Great Commission. But you know, as members of the church, the body of Christ, we have a commission that is different from the Great Commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 disciples. And so as we look at that today, I hope you will follow along in the Scriptures. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you names and addresses and numbers of how you can contact us. If you need more information, if you have questions, or you'd like to make any comments about the broadcast. I want to begin reading today in Matthew chapter 28. Some verses of Scripture that relate to the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the 12, or actually to the 11, that later became the 12 in Acts chapter 1. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The next place we want to read is Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, that is Jesus Christ again speaking to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now those are the two places that people generally think about when they think about the Great Commission. But there's another passage in Luke chapter 24 where, again, our Savior is talking to the disciples shortly before he ascends into heaven. And it's Luke chapter 24, verse 44. The Bible says there, verse 45. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So we see there are three very specific instructive passages in relation to the ministry of the disciples after the Lord Jesus Christ ascends into heaven. After Christ is raised from the dead, he spends 40 days and 40 nights with the disciples, instructing them as far as to what they're to do when he ascends into heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, we find that as they are there with the Lord, in verse 4, Acts 1, 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I want to make a statement, make it very clear as we begin this study today, that I believe that all the Bible is equally inspired. All the Bible is written for us. But I want you to understand and understand clearly that not all the Bible is written to us. And the passages that I have just read are not passages that are written to the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Are there applications we can make of those? Certainly. But the truth is that these commissions dealt specifically with the nation Israel and with the disciples' ministry going out into the world, preaching the gospel. And he said to every creature, but he told them there was an order into which that was to occur. And he said that order was that you would start in Jerusalem and then go to Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we want to look at those commissions today, and I want to show you by looking at those commissions that even though people say that they're trying to fulfill the Great Commission or they believe that's what they ought to be doing, that really they're not. Our commission, I believe, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is talking there about reconciliation. He's talking about the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. And when he gives us that information, he says in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That is the commission for the church, the body of Christ, to proclaim the message of reconciliation to the Gentile world, to all men, so that all men might be saved by the gospel. Now, back in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ told the disciples, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's the first part of the commission. But he also makes a statement in verse 20 that people are not following today that say that they are following the commission. Because he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, let's consider some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the disciples to do, and see if people are teaching those things today. A couple of those things you can find in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ said there in verse 25, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You see, that's a verse that's written directly to the 12 disciples, and it has to do with their ministry to the nations, to the beginning at Jerusalem and so forth, and they're told specifically that they're not to take thought for their life. And yet the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 said, if you don't work, neither should you eat. There are numerous things that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that people today are not following. Another one in Luke chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And yet, most everybody that says they're following the Great Commission, they have savings accounts. They have stocks and bonds and insurance and so forth. Well, Jesus Christ told his disciples, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. And he told those same disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So what the Lord had commanded the disciples were to teach all nations, teach people to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, speaking to the disciples, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the scribes and the Pharisees who sit in Moses' seat would be teaching. They would be teaching the Mosaic Law. They would be teaching the Ten Commandments. They would be teaching the statutes and the judgments and so forth. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. In other words, he's telling them to keep the law. And yet the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, we're not under the law. We're not to keep the law. We're not to be a slave to the law. We've been made free from the law by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the body of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is very specific in instructing the disciples about specific things that are to take place after he ascends into heaven, and they're to carry on the ministry that we find in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Part of that instruction is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, as I said a moment ago, people that say they're keeping the Great Commission, going into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, they are simply not doing that. They are not following the commission. They take simply part of it and use that, but they're not following the commission in total. Why? Because that is not the commission for the church, the body of Christ. That is the commission for the disciples in relation to their ministry among the Jews, the nation Israel. In Mark chapter 16, a passage that we read a moment ago, there's another commission there that's very similar. And it's interesting how many people there are that will take just part of this commission to prove that the church or that Israel had to be baptized to be saved. Those being preached to had to be baptized to be saved. Most people won't identify it as Israel because they believe it applies to everybody. But Jesus Christ said very specifically in Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now those that don't believe in baptismal regeneration have a real problem with the verse, particularly if you do not rightly divide the word of truth. This verse used to drive me crazy because I knew that water baptism was not necessary for salvation, and yet I had a Bible that I believed that was the Word of God, and I do today believe it is the Word of God. And it said very clearly, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, in case you don't hear all the broadcasts, let me make it very clear. I do not believe a person has to be baptized to be saved. I believe a person saved by grace through faith, and that water baptism has absolutely nothing to do with their salvation. But in Mark 16, the instruction there is clear, and it's clear that those people that this was written to, at that time, water baptism was essential for their salvation, for he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, on the other hand, you have those who are believe in baptismal regeneration. They say you must be baptized to be saved. However, most of those people will stop at the end of verse 16, and they will not take the verses 17 and 18 and practice those verses today. For example, those that believe in baptismal regeneration say that he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. But they do not believe that the signs shall follow them, as he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, listen, if you're going to take the first verse, verse 16 of the commission there, then you need to also pay heed to verse 17 and 18, and yet there are numerous people that don't do that. You see, there's not a consistency among people when they start teaching the Bible if they don't rightly divide the word of truth. Now, let's consider that commission again. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Luke, the passage we read there a moment ago, in Luke 24, he says, Jesus Christ, he said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So in Mark 16, we see that water baptism was absolutely essential as they went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke 24, he says, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Now, it's interesting to note that that is exactly what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 during his first recorded message on the day of Pentecost. When you get down to Acts chapter 2, in verse 34, and by the way, it's very important that you notice in Acts chapter 2 who the audience is. In Acts 2:22, he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. And then down in verse 32, he says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, as he saith, but he saith unto himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, and in Mark 16, he says, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And that's exactly what Peter said in Acts 2:38 when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You see, folks, these things are not hard. They're not difficult if we simply believe the Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ told the 12, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And that's exactly what was preached, the gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom is the gospel he's talking about in Matthew 28. It's the gospel he's talking about in Mark chapter 16. It's the gospel he's talking about in Luke 24. And it's what Peter and the 12 are preaching in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. That gospel of the kingdom included water baptism for the remission of sins. But when the apostle Paul was saved, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God, and Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. As a matter of fact, he makes it very clear. He makes a distinction in the gospel that he's preaching. He calls it one place the gospel of Christ, another the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts 20, verse 24, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. There is no doubt about that. And that gospel did not include water baptism. That gospel included the simple fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so we see that the gospel that Paul preached is altogether different from the gospel of the kingdom that the 12 preached, and the commission was different. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, you know, there's not a single one of the 12 that could have ever made that statement. Because Christ did send them to baptize, he told them in three different places to do so. And Paul, yet, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Baptism was not part of Paul's commission. And so neither is it part of the commission for the church, the body of Christ today. People have mistakenly applied the kingdom doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the church for so long that it has simply become the accepted norm. And yet, the information in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is information that deals with the prophetic program that God has been carrying on with the nation Israel since Genesis chapter 12 when he chose out Abraham. And when Israel rejected him in the book of Acts by the stoning of Stephen, immediately after that we see the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is given the dispensation of the grace of God. He's given what is called the mystery program. And that mystery program differs completely from the kingdom program in so many aspects. First of all, the gospel, the practices, the doctrine in itself is so different in Paul's epistles. And today, the reason there's so much confusion in religion about salvation, about baptism, about tithing, and all these other things is because people do not rightly divide the word of truth. The Apostle Paul is our apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote 13 books, Romans through Philemon. And in those books, we find how a person today can be saved and how that person is to walk in this present age. You don't find that information or those truths outside of Paul's epistles. And so when we talk about understanding your Bible, we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. We're talking about being able to believe that the Bible, the words on the page, mean what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it. And you can read your Bible in that manner, and you can put full confidence in your Bible by rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope that you'll study these things more this coming week, and tune in again next week as we continue to talk about how you can understand your Bible. Again, this is Pastor Steve Atwood, and we appreciate you tuning in today, and I wanted to take just a moment to invite you to be with us in our services at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's out in the Rivermont area, and we would love to have you come and be with us. We have Sunday school at 10, we have a morning service at 11, and then we have evening Bible study at 6 p.m. on Sunday night. Back in our fellowship hall, we simply sit around some tables and have an informal time of Bible study, and we'd invite you to come and be with us for any or all of these services. Sunday school at 10, a morning service at 11, evening Bible study at 6 p.m., and that's Grace Bible Church, 3827 Hickson Pike, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37415. If you want to write to us, you can also write us at that address, or if you'd like to give me a telephone call, my number is 423-847-0768. I would love to hear from you this week. Any comments you might have about the broadcast, whether it be positive or negative, any questions you might have about rightly dividing the word of truth or about how you can better understand your Bible or even about how you can be saved. If you're listening to this broadcast and you're not sure you're saved, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. And it's my hope that every person listening out there knows today that they are saved and that they're saved by the grace of God, not by works of righteousness which they have done, but according to His mercy. We'd love to hear from you this week. One other way you can contact us is through our website. We have a website. It's www.understandingyourbible.com. You can go there to the website. There are many articles there you can read. You can also find an email link to me, the pastor, if you want to send me an email. And we would love to hear from you by that means also. Also, I would invite you to tune in to our TV broadcast every Sunday night at 8:30 on Comcast Channel 46. Again, that's Understanding Your Bible. That's Comcast Channel 46, Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. We would love to have you tune in. And again, we would love to hear from you this week. We hope that you've enjoyed the broadcast, that you've received some information from it that will be beneficial to you. That's our only purpose, is to give you information that will help you in studying the Word of God, that you might better understand your Bible. Until next week, I hope that you'll take time to read your Bible, to study your Bible, and that by rightly dividing the Word of Truth, you'll really be able to understand your Bible. One other thing I would like to mention to you as we close out the broadcast today is that we have information we'd be glad to send to you free of charge. We have booklets, we have tapes, we have CDs. And if you would like more information about how to understand your Bible or the basics of rightly dividing the Word of Truth, if you'll simply write to us, we'll be glad to get it to you in the mail free of charge, without obligation. We'll not be contacting you and trying to get your money or anything like that. We simply would like to provide you with information that will help you to come to an understanding of God's Word rightly divided so that you might have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can write to me, Steve Atwood, 3827 Hickson Pike, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Just drop a note in the mail, postcard or a letter, and put in that letter that you would like more information, whether you would like tapes, CDs, or written information about rightly dividing the Word of Truth. As I said, we have several different resources, and we'll be glad to get you some in the mail just as soon as we get your request. And we provide this information free of charge, and hope that you'll take it, read it, and pass it along to someone else. This is information that can absolutely be life-changing. I know it was for me, and that will be for you as well. If you don't understand about how to be saved, give me a call, Steve Atwood. Call me at 423-847-0768, and I'd be glad to talk to you and tell you how you can know absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and going to heaven. Until next week, I hope that you'll tune in again next week at the same time, and that you'll be studying your Bible this week.